Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, January the 30th, 2026. 13 and a half minutes past the hour. And with everything that's been going on in Minnesota with ICE and now Don Lemon, journalist Don Lemon, there is one person I have wanted to talk to. He is a legendary journalist, has been a journalist for more than half a century. You might remember him best for his stint on HBO as the tremendous, acerbic, critical, complimentary, always entertaining boxing analyst. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones a man who will celebrate his birthday in 12 days, 95. Can you believe that? Always a pleasure to welcome Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
Well, I don't know if I believe it myself. I'm good. I'm out here in Santa Monica. It was 78 degrees today. I think we've decided to skip winter this year.
We certainly are not skipping it here in Ohio. It's about six here right now.
Well, you make your choices in life, and here I am, and not regretting it.
Larry, before we get into the news of the day, 95 in 12 days, what's the secret to getting to 95?
Having good ancestors, I think. I think that all of my grandparents came from Europe. I was told by a friend who's a famous photographer in New York that there are tribes of people in the part of Europe where I grew up who claim very long life. That's good enough for me.
How will you celebrate your 95th?
Well, I'm having a birthday. I'm having various families in my life. My actual families, relatives, but also some of my boxing pals who are family. A book club that I belong to for over 30 years. That'll be another family. And we'll try to celebrate.
And one more question on the big birthday. What is the best part of being 95, and what's the worst part?
The best part of being 95 is that you're still the oldest guy in the room, whatever room you happen to be in. And I've been around a while, and I've seen a few things in my day, and so that's a good part of it. And having so many friends and so forth, and grandchildren and a great-grandchild and like that.
What's the worst part?
Well, lately I've been having some stomach issues. and, you know, you slow up. I live across the street from a strip of a park that runs a few miles and is just above the beach and the ocean, and I'm lucky that way. And as my high school football coach, who was a hero in the landing of the troops in Europe in 1945, he said to me, and when he was way older, into his late 90s, "Larry, I'm good to go." And a few years later, he went. He was 100 years old. I went to his funeral at the National Cemetery for Heroes. And like that. I don't think I'm going to be in that cemetery.
You never know. There's always hope, Larry. There's always hope.
Maybe so. I'm just a guy who made his luck, lived his luck, worked hard and trying to be what I wanted to be, and had a goal in life, and I can't complain.
And I'll tell you, we certainly aren't complaining. We're glad to have you around and have been glad to have you for quite a while now. Larry, in your 95 years, what do you make of what has gone on? The killing of Mr. Pretty in Minnesota, ICE agents around the country, President Trump a little over a year into his second term. What do you make of everything that's going on?
It's not the country I grew up in. I'm not saying the country I grew up in is a perfect place either. But we had certain ideals about what this country has been about for 250 years. And what we respected, the law, the Constitution, and so on. And all that seems to be out the window now. As a guy who's a great performer, I'll say, hangs around and knows how to grab the spotlight or get out of the spotlight. And I used to say, when people asked me what my goal was, I would say, well, I'd like to live to 99, because I didn't want to be too grabbing, too selfish. Now I want to live the 99 or 100 in the hopes that I can see the Minnesota of America blossom, the Minnesota's blossom. It wasn't perfect, not everybody was great, and so on and so forth. But we had an ideal, and we try to live up to it. And now we have a leader who leads by losing.
When you saw the video of Mr. Pretty being killed, did you think it was murder? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, by the time I got to it, it was clear already that the positive virus in America was spreading very quickly. People could see that a man, a great public citizen, was being murdered by these thugs called ICE. The idea that we would have a version of the Gestapo, jostled every thought I ever had about our country. And I hope I'm around long enough to see a glimmer of what was and what will be.
Larry, you might be one of the oldest and longest-serving journalists in our country right now. Yesterday, Don Lemon, out there in Los Angeles, California, was arrested by the federal government and charged in regard to an episode he had in Minnesota covering ICE and a church. What do you make of Don Lemon's arrest, and what's going on with journalism?
Well, we have a president who is as imperfect as any human being could be, and but is very unhappy with some of the treatment he gets and some of the bad news he gets that he fostered. And he's maneuvering on how to get out of these things that he got himself into. I'm talking about the Greenland episode, the Venezuelan episode, and all of that stuff. And it's scary. It's really scary.
What would you say to Don Lemon, who is facing these charges right now? If you could speak to him, what would you say?
Keep punching. He's got, you know, there are so many lawyers that Trump has put into business with these, with any character he has gone after. And they all have money. How are they going to afford the lawyers to fight the whole country? How are they going to do that? Well, Don Lemon is one of those guys who can fight back, and hopefully it ends up well. From all indications, it will. And we have to deal with this another almost 3 years.
What is your wish or your hope for this country, or in general, as we approach your 95th birthday?
That somebody can make a cake big enough for all the candles that I need. But, you know, even if you're not a forward-looking citizen who's involved in contemporary issues and so forth, I just want to see my country look like my country. That that kids will get civic classes to attend to, and that parents will demand the best kinds of education and so on. Maybe that's a fleeting hope, but There have been times in my life when I thought that my country really wasn't as good as some of us thought it was. Now I'm in a place where I think a lot of people think that. You know, it crosses my mind, why is ICE in Minneapolis, a city that has had, from what I've read, before these recent incidents, a couple of murders in the first month of the year? Where is the anxiety about crime in that state? I mean, there are places that have more crime than others. Maybe Minnesota. So I think we've seen people step out, step up for the horrors visited on them that we didn't know about. They're out there peacefully trying to make the best of their lives and trying to thwart the worst of our presidents.
Larry, you've always had some of the best lines in the history of certainly boxing. People don't forget your incident with Floyd Mayweather almost 15 years ago now. If I was 50 years younger, I'd kick your rear end, and of course you didn't say rear end. When Buster Douglas, our own Columbus, Ohio boy, knocked out Mike Tyson, you said this makes Cinderella look like a sad story. When George Foreman won the heavyweight championship, oldest man ever to do it, your line that night was tremendous. What's the line today? What's the great line that Larry Merchant has for us tonight?
Well, I say this. We've been knocked down before, and we get up.
Absolutely right. I want to tell one story before we let Larry go, because Larry and I go way back. He's been coming on my show for a long time. 15 years ago, when Larry got into the contretemps on HBO with Floyd Mayweather, everybody wanted to talk to Larry. It was on all the newscasts. TMZ was following him around. He was all over the place. And because he'd been on the show with me, I had Larry's cell phone number. But I thought, I'm never going to get a hold of him. Everybody wants to talk to Larry right now. I called Larry's cell phone number, and to my amazement, he answered the phone. He was at the airport. He had just gotten off the plane back home after the fight. And I said, Larry, can we do an interview? You said, let's do it now. You sat down in the airport, did the interview with me. It aired that night on the show I was doing at that time. And the people at the station I was working for at that time heard that interview, were big boxing fans, had watched the fight the night before, and thought that I was the greatest person who ever lived because I had you on the following night and thought, boy, I was really in the news business. So, Larry, I thank you, as always, and I thank you for all the years of your friendship, and you're not going to stop coming on. We got to get to 100.
I enjoy your Midwestern common sense.
Thank you, Larry. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The one and only Larry Merchant. There you go.
That's nice.
I love that story, and that's a story I never tell when I'm out doing speaking, but that is the God's honest truth. I'll never forget the people who own that station came in the neck and said, you had Larry Merchant on? I mean, it was the biggest story in the world at that point.
That's funny. You know, why was it such a big thing?
Because Floyd Mayweather was the most popular boxer in the world at that time.
Undefeated, that whole thing. Yeah,
and he started on Larry, after the fight in the post-fight interview. Nobody had really ever done that. And Larry just turned to him and said, if I was 50 years younger, I'd kick your blump. And there it was. And people thought that was nuts. Why? I mean, see, now that is a journalist who speaks his mind.
Well, that's all. I think that's good.
Yeah. It's a moment when you watch it.
I don't know. I'd have to see the clip. It sounds funny, at least. It's good.
Oh, he got... I think Larry was shocked.
Well, Floyd Mayweather, even now, like... I don't know who he fought whenever he fought him, but he fought somebody, and, you know, he was really in the news at that point. But, you know, he's a cocky kind of fellow. He got a lot of confidence behind him.
Well, that was 15 years ago now.
When he was young.
Yeah. Larry was only 84 at that time.
What a baby.
Yeah. No, he'd have been younger. He'd have been 79.
You messed up that math.
A child. He was a child at that point. No, he'd have been 80. Because the fight was in September, so he would have been 80.
Okay.
He was still working.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's how you live to be 95. And he's still got it. He still pays attention to everything. And
well, I mean, you know, if you love what you do, I guess.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, give us a buzz. I just like Larry. I've always liked him. He's the history.
Why don't they send him back to work?
Well, I bet he'd do it. Why not?
I think it'd be good.
He was just so... You know, you had to be around when boxing was on HBO. And he was the analyst. I mean, he was just so good.
Why are there so many different boxing, like, organizations? Like, you know, there's, like, the UFC, and the UFC is, like, the undisputed top-ranking, like, you know, mixed martial arts competition. But, like, there's, like, the WBA. I don't even know all of them. There's, like, the WBA, maybe, the WBO. I don't know. They got, like, slightly different names, but they're all, like, the same level of competition. What's the point? You're fighting the same fighters.
I think a lot of that had to do with what people wanted. Promoters.
I don't know. I just thought that it's interesting, I guess. I mean, the UFC, I guess, is kind of a monopoly.
You know, when you were born, if you're born in 1931, think of what you've seen as a journalist your entire life. You've covered Muhammad Ali. You've covered George Foreman. You've covered Joe Frazier, Jackie Robinson. I mean, just everybody. Because you figure he probably started, let's say he started when he was 20. That would be 51. That's before the integration of baseball. And it's unbelievable to think that.
When was baseball integrated?
The 50s.
That's interesting. I don't know.
42 is a great movie. You got to check that out. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
What's the movie called? A League of Their Own? Is that the one about the women's baseball league?
Yeah. I don't know that that's reality, though.
I don't know, but my grandma loves that movie. I've seen that movie at least half a dozen times.
Well, it's got a lot of famous people in it.
I don't know any of them.
Gina Davis, Rosie O'Donnell. Who else is
I
in
think,
that?
Yeah.
Madonna's in that.
Really? I guess I missed that one. I've seen the movie a billion times.
Tom Hanks is in that movie.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. Yeah, I knew that one. Yeah, Tom Hanks is in the movie.
Good movie.
Yeah, I think so. I like it.
But there was a female baseball league, but I don't think it was exactly that way. Somewhat dramatized.
Is there still a women's baseball league?
I don't think so. Well, if there is, it's not. Like, I know these things. They play down in...
I don't know.
Saskatoon. How would I know?
Well, fair enough, I guess. I don't know that... I mean...
I cover them.
I don't know that there's a women's football league. The only one... I mean, the WNBA is pretty popular. I mean, as far as, you know, women's sports go, I guess. But, I mean, women's soccer is more popular than men's soccer, I do believe.
See, this is a news show. Auditor of the State, Keith Faber.
Oh, sorry, I don't know.
Larry Merchant. What more could you ask for? Where else are you going to get this?
It's been a busy, busy time.
Busy time. It's new. It's cold outside, so it's 2 degrees. We're almost back to where we started this morning.
Isn't that nice?
Which was -3 when I came in this morning.
What was the high today? 5?
No, it got it. It was like 13 when we left the studio. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to the weather.
Well, I can see it down here.
Oh.
I can see the temperature.
I get in my car, go home, get out of my car, go inside. I despise cold weather.
Well, I don't know that anybody likes it. I've never said, boy, I love it when it's -3.
I know people who like those.
The -3?
Well, I don't know about -3, but I know people who like snow and they like cold.
Well, that's okay. If you're inside, if you don't have to drive in it, probably you like it.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know. We got another guest coming here in a minute. I know you're excited.
Oh, yes.
It's coming up.
My favorite group of people.
Well, it's Groundhog Day, you know. Oh, you get ready to do a heck of a pitch when this is over, because we haven't pitched Groundhog Day yet, and after this interview isn't going to last longer than 10 minutes, so.
That's good.
Be ready. Be ready to pitch heavy for Monday's Groundhog Day celebration.
I'll give basically the same pitch I've given.
Well, just amp it up. You only got one other shot.
Well, I mean, you know, it's exciting. It gets bigger every year, like I've said, you know?
Who is the groundhog?
I don't
Tis
know.
Tis the question.
You gotta,
it's like Christmas Eve.
I don't know. I'm bad at guessing. I'm terrible at it. I guess because, I don't know. I mean, you could pick anybody and be equally as close.
Well, we'll find out come Monday morning at 8:15. And as we've been talking about, Groundhog Day is right around the corner, February 2nd. And as many of you know, all eyes will be focused in on Punxsutawney Phil in Pennsylvania. But one group that isn't too happy with that is PETA. Now, PETA has offered a massive 3D projection complete with vocal weather predictions if they stop using live groundhogs in Pennsylvania. Joining us tonight to discuss that, the Manager of Strategic Initiatives for PETA, Jacob Shaw. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us on. And yeah, you really set that up perfectly.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad. How did this come about, and what have the conversations been like with the people in Pennsylvania?
So PETA's pointing out what everyone already knows, right? Which is that Punxsutawney Phil is not actually a meteorologist. He's a groundhog, and he deserves to be retired to a reputable sanctuary where he can do all the things that are natural and important to groundhogs. You know, these are shy animals, so dragging them out on stage and waving them around in front of a noisy crowd, there were 40,000 people at the Gobbler's Knob celebration last year. I mean, that's just abusive to these animals. And there are so many clever, humane alternatives to using live animals for Groundhog Day. So this year, PETA suggested, like you mentioned, using a 3D hologram. And we're inviting everyone who agrees that it's time for the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club to switch to, you know, one of these other creative non-animal ideas. You know, let them know by going to PETA.org and signing on to our action alert.
Have you actually had a conversation with the people in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we sent a letter to, I believe his name was Tom Dunkel, who's the president. You know, they have now come to expect that they'll be hearing from us, you know, for Groundhog Day, because we've asked them a few times now, given them some great ideas about all of these amazing non-animal, you know, setups they could do that would be fun, they'd be creative, they would actually be more accurate in predicting the weather, but they wouldn't involve, you know, exploiting this terrified animal. If you saw a groundhog in the wild, I don't know how many of your listeners have, but if you saw one, you know, they're afraid of humans. They'll run back and hide into their burrow. So if you just imagine what this is like for Phil to be waved in the air in front of a bunch of screaming people, I mean, it's a terrifying experience, and there's just absolutely no reason to do this. Especially not in 2026.
You know, Jacob, I think one of the problems is as you said, I think 40,000 people were drawn last year. And you're right, the groundhog is not a meteorologist, and it is an animal. And as you have said, fearful of people and taken out of its natural habitat. But 40,000 people coming to see this is probably why they keep doing it. why do you think it is still so popular, even though PETA certainly makes its point every year that this is not ethical?
Well, I think that people like the tradition of Groundhog Day. They like celebrating, they like a community event, but there's no reason that an animal needs to be dragged into it. I guarantee that if the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club announced that for the first time they were having an exciting 3D hologram, you know, in past years we've offered them a ginormous weather reveal cake that when cut open would show, you know, whether it would be six more weeks of winter or, you know, spring would come early, people would be interested in this. There are millions of people around the world who watch the ball drop every year on New Year's Eve. I mean, that's not that exciting when you think about it. So there's really just no reason why we need to be exploiting this poor groundhog for absolutely no reason. And like you mentioned, you know, he's scared in these moments. Groundhogs, just like dogs, cats, and all other animals, they're sentient beings who feel fear and pain, and we should have respect for them and let them live the lives that they live in nature rather than, you know, forcing them into this unnatural behavior.
You know, Jacob, and maybe this is one of the issues, as you said, why do we watch a ball drop on New Year's Eve? Why do we have colored eggs on Easter? Why fireworks on the 4th of July? You know, we have these traditions, and again, if you would come today, if you would come in 2026 and said, listen, here's a new idea. We're going to take a groundhog, and he's going to predict the weather. I think people would look at you like you were nuts. But for some reason, people like tradition. And it obviously still very strong there, 40,000 people. So you think they would still draw 40,000 if they got rid of the groundhog?
Oh, I'm sure. They may even draw more, especially if they announced that it was, you know, the first time in history that they're using this exciting new technology. But I mean, you made such a great point just then, which is that we have these traditions, but traditions change. You know, we've learned now that fireworks, in addition to terrifying animals, you know, wherever they're lit, the day after the 4th of July and today after New Year's are two of the busiest days in the year for shelters around the country because so many dogs and cats run away because they're terrified. You know, they're, in addition to that, they also start wildfires. There's thousands of fires that are started each year just because of fireworks celebrations. But because of that, we've started to see cities around the country move away from fireworks celebrations on these holidays because of how harmful they are. But, you know, the same principle can be applied here. Yes, this has been a tradition for a long time, but we now know so much about groundhogs than we didn't back then. And we can have a new holiday, or rather a new tradition, that, you know, leaves groundhogs in peace, but is exciting and fun for everyone without exploiting animals.
What would happen if the people in Pennsylvania took you up on your deal one year, whether it's a cake or the massive 3D projection, and attendance dropped off?
Well, I think we're framing this the wrong way. The most important thing here is that Phil, the groundhog, is an individual. You know, he should not be subjected to what is a terrifying experience for him just because some people happen to like that. I mean, the hope, and we are confident that whether it's, you know, a 3D hologram, an animatronic groundhog, whatever it is, will attract people. But this is not contingent on, it's not to say, oh, you know, one more person preferred it but the real groundhog, so we're going to go back to that. That doesn't justify, you know, abusive behavior towards animals. I think this might help explain, you know, why we take such issue with this. In nature, groundhogs burrow and make these incredible homes for themselves underground that can be 88 feet long, and they actually make separate rooms within their burrows. They'll have a sleeping room, a nursing room. But Phil is forced to live in an enclosure in the Punxsutawney Library that, you know, reportedly is artificially lit 365 days a year, so he isn't even able to have a hibernation as he would in nature. I mean, this is just wrong, and there's absolutely no justification to do this to Phil, who just wants to be a groundhog like all other groundhogs.
Right, and I'm not saying that there is any justification if any animals are being harmed. I just think to get to the point to where this might not happen anymore, clearly, if nobody showed up to the event, they would stop having the event. So there is some commerce involved in this. And I think I can't speak for the people in Punxsutawney, but that probably is their big objective. I don't think they're really, you know, laying out the next 6 weeks of their life on the weather prediction. I think it's the fun and that it draws. And I think there's probably a fear there that attendance will drop off. Again, not justifying harming an animal at all, but that's probably their big issue. So, is there some, like, meeting in the middle that PETA and the group there could have?
Well, I think, like you're alluding to, there are a lot of different traditions and industries that historically harmed a lot of animals in the making of their product or their event, right? But as people learn more and more about how incredible animals are, how each one of them is a sentient individual who feels fear and pain and joy and has relationships like we do, who values their life just like we value our own, consumers and, you know, attendees of events don't want to see animals being exploited. And that's why, I mean, just take one example. You know, not too long ago, everyone wanted a fur coat. But now, in 2026, I mean, most people wouldn't be caught dead in fur because everyone knows that wearing fur is wearing someone's skin. You know, it comes from a dead animal. And we have these incredible faux fur coats now that you see people wear all the time that, you know, look similar. They just don't involve harming an animal. So, really, we're happy to work with the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club for whatever amazing, creative, innovative new tradition they can come up with, as long as it doesn't harm animals. So to me, I think that's meeting in the middle and is a reasonable solution that most people can get behind.
Well, hopefully at some point some compromise can be made. And do you have any predictions for Groundhog Day? 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring?
Oh, I'm hoping for an early spring.
Early spring. Jacob Shaw, the manager of strategic initiatives for PETA. Well, I certainly appreciate your advocacy and what you do, and we will see what happens as we go on down the road. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening and a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Happy Groundhog Day. Okay, Matt. There you go. PETA.
Yep.
I thought he did a fine job.
Yep.
Massive 3D projection complete with vocal weather predictions. Now, see, I'd go to see that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie. That sounds cooler than Groundhogs.
It is weird when you think about it. I mean, why, you know, the Groundhog? I mean, are people really that stuck on it?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't really, you know, honestly, I'm not... I care about Groundhog Day to the extent that our Groundhog Day goes well.
I'll tell people about it.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, speaking of.
Segway.
We're going to be having our annual Groundhog Day event on Monday, so be sure to tune in for that. It starts at 8:15. You can listen, you know, via the website, tune in, or however you're listening now obviously works, so just keep that in mind. So the Groundhog will get to the studio at 8:45, and the Bob Welsh will be coming down from Columbus with a Groundhog pizza, and under each of those slices will be a prediction. Either 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring, and then Mary Ellen will be there to sign it into, will sign the prediction into fact. And after 19 years, Jack Kellogg is coming out of retirement, possibly, depending on the weather.
You never really know.
yeah. Making spam sandwiches. Also, he is going to be wearing his Groundhog Day sweatshirt.
Classic.
Oh, also, I forgot to mention it. I always forget to mention something. The Salvation Army is going to be here. So
James Anderson.
Yes, James Anderson. We're going to have 3 Groundhogs here.
Who will be the Groundhog this year? Now, we've had some guesses. Jason Schaber, the mayor, Larry Barnett. Who else was a guest? I don't have it with me.
What was the question?
Who was guest as the Groundhog? Oh, here it is. Bob Bender, Ted Williams, Larry Barnett, Miranda McGinnis, Pastor Whitaker, Mayor Collins, Jason Schaber.
I think Larry Barnett would be a good Groundhog.
Well, we'll find out Monday morning. I don't know. I mean, you think we could do well with this massive 3D projection complete with vocal weather predictions?
Yes.
Do away with our groundhog?
Yeah, I'd be, yeah. I think, you know, honestly, I think that sounds cooler than whatever we got going on.
I don't know. I like
I like what we got going on. It's good, you know, but like, I like 3D projections. That sounds pretty neat.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think this thing would draw?
I would rather see the 3D projection than the groundhog, honestly.
What are the lessons you've taken away from this show tonight? Keith Faber, PETA, Larry Merchant.
Sometimes 2 hours isn't enough time.
Yeah, but I mean, what have you learned from these people? What have you ascertained?
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
You got a whole hour to fill. You better ascertain something.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the. I don't know. I mean, Keith Faber, I thought did pretty well. I think he had some questionable answers. I'll probably, you know, talk about those at some point.
What was questionable? Did you say questionable earlier? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you thought he did good.
Well, I thought he did good, but they were questionable. Like he had some questionable answers.
He's the auditor.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like he said that, you know, like we should dial back on the rhetoric and then, you know, went after his opponent for making the whole comment about, you know, killing Donald Trump in court, which he just kept referring to as killing the president. I think that was a bit of rhetoric in and of itself. I mean, also, he didn't, he called on Amy Acton I can't think of the word for some reason. Basically, rebuke what? Edward?
Forehand? Elliot?
Elliot?
Elliot Forehand?
Yep. Sorry. Yes. What Mr. Forehand had said, and she did, as did Mr. Forehand's opponent.
Apparently, not quick enough.
I mean,
for Mr. Faber, I do remember him saying
yes,
that.
Yes, he did say that. But I mean, 24 hours. I mean, you know, 24 hours is pretty quick. So, you know, but then, you know, when asked about the chair of the Republican Party's comments and Vivek Ramaswamy's comments, I'm sure with the head of the Republican Party, it was like, you know, I'm sure he was speaking in hyperbole. And with Vivek, he said, you know, that's on Vivek's people to answer.
Well, again, party. I'm telling you, party is a thing. That's the way people see everything. You're with me or you're against me. And we've got to fix that somewhere along the line.
Well, I don't know how you get anything done in the world of politics if it's either you're with me or you're against me. I mean, you have to like right now, I guess it works because the Republicans have the majority in everything. But I mean, you don't have the majority in everything. It doesn't quite work because I mean nothing's going to get done.
Well, sounds like there was a deal made to keep the government open.
Yes, I heard about that. I don't know what the deal was. I just heard that there was a deal cut. So that's good, I guess.
So there are people working together.
Well, I think I think you have to. Like I said, I mean, compromise is the name of the game.
Well, that's why I think rhetoric is bad. I think the rhetoric is a little much these days. I don't know why. Okay, you don't like somebody, fine. Don't go around them. Don't talk about them. Why do you have to be so nasty?
Well, most of the time, I don't know why it has to be. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I mean the first televised presidential debate, Richard Nixon said, "I find myself much in agreement with Senator Kennedy. We have the same vision for America, just different viewpoints on how to get there."
Okay.
I think that's good. You should get back to that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about something different here. I'm talking
about
the
same thing, just backwards.
No, I'm talking about the world we live in today, where you're with me or you're against me, and if you're against me, you're crazy.
Well, I don't think that's good. That's why I said we should go back to that.
I don't know why people are so sensitive, I guess is the word.
Sensitive.
Yeah, they seem a little sensitive. Anytime you say anything about somebody, people get crazy. You know, like the Don Lemon thing. You know, I don't know that he has done anything wrong. I certainly don't know that he needed to be arrested.
Yeah, I don't know the need to be tracked down in Los Angeles to be arrested. That's a bit much.
I mean, aren't you just giving him attention? I mean, this is what I don't understand.
Yeah,
now,
well,
you've given him a lot of attention. You've given him a whole story.
I'd never heard of Don Lemon up until this, so...
Well, I was looking... I don't normally look in the comments of anything, but tonight I was looking at the Ayers Ratliff testimony. Now, half of the people were saying, good guy, you know, they've ruined his life, why are they doing this? And then the other half was, he's guilty as could be, he's a horrible guy. You know, what is that? Do any of these people know the man?
I assume some of them probably know him, but I think that, I mean, there's no way that everybody in the Facebook comment sections knows him.
No, but why do they feel the need? They wouldn't comment like that if he was standing right there, either way.
Well, that's why I don't like social, like, that's why I don't think people should read social media comments. That's not, people are emboldened on social media.
Well, of course they are.
There's no real repercussion to do. Dislike my post? Oh, no.
I don't understand. Social media is funny to me in a way. I mean, oh, you really hurt my feelings. You know, ooh, you said something about me on social media. La-di-da. I think that shows your maturity level.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
You know,
I mean, yeah.
I don't understand, but the rhetoric's bad, and I don't think that guy should have said, even though he was talking about
of
law.
No, I don't,
I don't think he should have said, kill anybody.
Yes, bad.
You know,
but, you know. But, I don't know. Not good, yes.
So, coming up next hour, promo for the Groundhog, sports.
And politics.
The coaching carousel.
Yes, the coaching
carousel. The new ride for coaches who are unemployed by the NFL. Well, for Keith Faber, our auditor of state, candidate for attorney general on the Republican side, legendary HBO boxing analyst Larry Merchant, and Jacob Shaw, the manager of strategic initiatives for PETA, Scott Spears, until Monday morning Groundhog Day, heading for the dugout.
Funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one